Hi, I'm Lee Chantel from VivaLaVegan.net.
I'm Chris.
And we've also got joining us today Corey Levitan. He's from Las Vegas. And the three of us are going to have a chat to you all today. How are you, Corey?
Hey, I'm great.
What about me?
How are you, Chris?
I'm fine, thanks.
So, Corey's great, Chris is fine, and it's very hot here in Brisbane. And Chris is in...
It's freezing here. I got a blanket.
Chris is in Osaka in Japan, and you said it was, what, 6 degrees Celsius there?
It says 6 degrees Celsius, but it's snowing. So it's obviously either colder or miracle snow.
And it's actually raining in Las Vegas, so the world is definitely ending based on this weather report.
Wow.
And in Brisbane, it's so hot. I just keep spraying myself with some water spray. And it's...
Whoa.
Like afternoon.
What's the average rainfall in Las Vegas?
What's the average rainfall? I think about 2 or 3 inches a year.
Yeah, how many days rain do you get?
This would be the day.
Wow.
So Corey's joining Chris and myself. So Chris and I, hopefully you heard our first podcast a couple of weeks ago. And this will be our second one. And Corey lives in Las Vegas, as I said, and he writes for Men's Health. You can see quite a few of his articles at menshealth.com. And he writes mostly about women, sex, and various other things. I saw your recent article about taking your wife to the porn awards. How was that, Corey?
Is that what this is about?
No.
How was that? I'm still married, surprisingly. It was actually pretty healthy for our marriage. It was pretty eye opening. I'll stop there. It was a pretty wild trip.
Can I
ask a couple of questions about the porn awards?
Sure.
You know, like with the internet, and obviously, like they're not selling videos or DVDs anymore.
How do they get the money? Yeah.
Who pays for it?
Yeah, the people who attend the awards, they pay these outrageous prices just to go to their convention. It costs $100 a person per day.
Whoa,
and wow.
They go there, and I don't know what they're expecting, to like some orgy or something. It's just a bunch of really old, fat people selling, like, sex toys. Mm. And then they have the lines for the porn stars, to give autographs, and you have to pay for that, too. So I think that's where all the money's coming from.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think all the merchandise that comes from it as well. I've heard that's quite lucrative for some porn stars.
Yeah, they have their they take casts of their
body parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Fleshlight is the most popular one.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually pretend that you have some chance at ever being with a woman, and not only that, but the woman that you actually want to be with, which is nice for some people. It's like make a
who wants to be with a porn star anyway.
Well, I think I'd rather be with a plastic mold of a porn star, to tell you the truth. There's no chance of an STD that way.
But yeah. They get tested every week or every month or something, I've heard.
No, I don't. If there's a reason you're tested every week,
how do you know?
I don't want to go. They do. They get tested every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Wow.
So now we've all learned something about that.
That sounds expensive. And if it's all getting on the internet, like the tests are like $40 each, you know? That's a big overhead.
I'm sure that would be covered. That would be covered by someone. Oh, people make a lot of money from, like, downloading things or click to watch things as well. There's a lot of ways you can make money online from various different channels.
Fair enough. You know a lot about porn.
No, I know a lot. Well, I know some things about porn, but I also know a lot about online money making. And potential streams of money making. So there's a lot of options. And talking about some of Corey's writing, Corey, you learned a few things just recently, like the end of last year. Do you want to tell people how we became to know each other and the article you wanted to do?
Yeah, I like to do controversial things and things that get people thinking and things that also, have room for humor. And I just thought to myself, the vegan lifestyle, what do they think of Is sperm vegan? The question just occurred to me. And so I Googled it. I found some people talking about it, like, you know, on their own blogs and whatever. But I thought I would do an official inquiry because, you know, the world needs to know if, you know, if this is something that's going to, you know, make a vegan's head explode when I think about the potential of, you know, for what their lifestyle is and contradicting it. And anyway, so I listened to your podcast, so I called you and we did an interview, and I realized that I was much, much more comfortable doing these interviews over the phone than Skype. So I was so shy and bashful talking with you. I was laughing at everything you said, and then I realized when I listened to the recording of it back that I didn't really get anything good out of you whatsoever, and we couldn't use you for the article, but I felt really bad, so I got back in touch with you. Anyway, the point is that sperm is vegan, depending upon what your definition of vegan is. Now, you are a vegan because you don't believe in any cruelty to animals. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I believe in cruelty to animals. I mean, I avoid it where I can. But the reason that I would call myself probably 85% vegan, vegetarian. But the reason that I am the way I am is because I just don't like the idea of eating animals. And I think there are a lot of people like me out there too who just don't want to be consuming or consuming, as you say, animal things. So they don't want to put them in their mouth. And this is, boy, this is
a hot topic.
Is sperm really a hot topic? Like, I know a couple of geeks that are wankers and probably lick their hands after. But I don't think it's ever come up.
I've heard it quite a lot. Maybe more girls get asked it than boys.
Yeah,
like, people non-vegans, I get asked about it. And especially if there's a whole group of, like, girls or boys that are just, like, egging each other on or something. I remember I was asked in an office I used to work, and all the girls are killing themselves laughing about it. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard it before. Because, you know, a lot of people are just trying to get you off balance or ask something that they think's so hilarious that they think you've never heard before. And like I said to Corey with our Skype interview we did, yeah, I've heard it before.
Well, okay, so it's not only does semen come from an animal, but it contains actual living organisms that are neither plants nor fungi.
So does yeast.
But yeast, is yeast an animal? No.
It's an organism.
Is sperm an animal?
See, these are good questions.
Actually, I think life starts at 12 months.
12 months?
Before that, you can flush it.
So my opinion to Corey when he asked me this question was to say that it's all about consent. So whether or not it actually comes from an animal, like as in a human animal, that it's not as if like a cow saying, "Here, have my babies," or "Here, have my milk." So it's completely different when it comes to some sexual practices where hopefully most people and all people are consenting adults, or consenting at least.
But if there are teeth involved, there's a change, because I don't consent to that ever.
That's the whole vampire. That's
fair
the
enough.
Whole
that,
vampire thing.
That's probably the oddest vegan conversation that's ever happened. How did that even come up, by the way?
We were thinking about, my editor and I were thinking about weird things. And the other vegan thing that I thought of was if a Venus flytrap were edible, could you eat that? Could a vegan eat a Venus flytrap?
I think that's a pretty good, you know, some vegans don't eat, is it figs? Because a wasp has to lay out larvae?
Yeah, maybe. I've heard that.
Is that it?
Yeah. I love figs.
I think most vegans would say no. But, you know, they're like the kind of guys that would be like, I refuse to get chips or whatever, I refuse to buy something from McDonald's or use their toilet but they'll shop at Coles, you know?
Coles is one of our major supermarkets here in Australia.
I think the bigger issue is that you really can't, and you've said this a number of times, you can't be 100% vegan. I mean, if you drive a car, you know, if you use a computer, there are some things, components that are animal-based.
Fossil fuels, particularly petrol, is literally fish.
Is it? Wow.
You don't know about the way, like, you're Christian, right? So maybe...
Who?
You.
No.
So anyway, back in the day, like way back before Gondwana, the oceans were just full of life, you know? Mm-hmm. And when they died, they sunk to the bottom, and that's what became the oil. It's science. But if you drive a car, it's not vegan.
Yeah, I thought it was in relation to tyres.
What?
Don't Rubber. People carry on about tyres not being vegan? I've heard that.
No, tyres are rubber.
Something to do with the process of creating it. I can't remember. I can't remember that one.
Right. So what I don't understand is all the vegans who are yelling at other vegans for not being vegan enough when it's impossible to be 100% vegan. And, being any percent vegan or aware or conscious of animal and animal suffering is, I think, you know, it's a good thing. I hate all of the... all of the bickering online in the comment sections and stuff, even, my article and everything, that they started going at each other, and it's self-righteous, and it's, you're not really winning anyone over if you're so confrontational and you're accusatory and you just come at people and you're a murderer, you're not going to change the world like that. I think I have a better shot at changing the world by making carnivores laugh.
There's definitely many different ways to convert people, and I definitely think it's better to, do a less offensive way of at least interacting with people. And, yeah, you're right about all the trolls and comments online. It's really horrible, a lot of the stuff online.
I agree.
And you're really big into watching trolls troll each other, aren't you, Chris?
I'm bigger than making fun of trolls. It's really not fun.
And what about Corey's article? Did you read that? It's called "Is Your Sperm Vegan Friendly?"
I didn't read it. Was that in the email? That
that was in your homework.
That was the homework you didn't do. But there's quite a few comments that Corey got for his article. What did you think about some of the comments, Corey? Like,
well, the first one, that, for instance, is this for real? Was this a satire piece? Who got paid to write this garbage? I actually agree with that one.
But was it a satire piece? Did you write it satirically, or?
No. I just like getting people to think, and if I happen to also, get them to laugh too, it's great. But no, when you approach something that's almost like a ridiculous topic, and you actually approach it seriously, you get a sort of a satire from it. And I think that was pretty successful, and the commenters obviously didn't agree at all. Being vegan has nothing to do with the bedroom. If it did, that would mean all vegan men would never get sex unless they were attempting to procreate, and we would never masturbate. That is definitely not reality.
A guy called Josh.
Josh Meckel.
And this is the thing that freaks me out, like, other than the comments, that people can see who said these comments, and there's links to their Facebook pages.
Is that really?
Yes, and you can find out all this stuff about
can you send me
people.
An email again?
Hey, Chris, you should probably look at this if you haven't seen it before. The link for people playing at home is menshealth.com/sex/women/vegans-and-sperm.
Question mark. Oh, yeah, is that it? Yeah, okay. All right, cool.
But if I just put in men's health, vegan, sperm...
Yeah, or even just Google the heading, which was, is your sperm vegan friendly?
Should be or if you wanted to, you could go to CoreyLevitan.com.
Or Corey's website, that's correct. And so, like, you...
Oh, that's it. Who did the photo?
That was a stock photo that my editor picked up somewhere. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You have to scroll right down to the comments, Chris, because there's all the advertising on that.
I think it's just advertising on mine.
Yeah.
So okay, let me ask you something else. Why do most vegans seem to lack a sense of humor?
Because they're nubs. I think most people who are vegan, and this is my personal opinion, most people who are vegan kind of lack a little bit. Well, most people that take veganism very seriously kind of lack a bit of personality, so you know it kind of becomes their whole life. So when you ridicule something that's kind of their whole life, it's very offensive, you know.
So it becomes their religion, in a sense.
Exactly.
It depends what sort of people, Corey. Like, you know, I guess the people that are trolling online or the people that are commenting online the most—that's the sort of people you would see that are saying things or maybe not taking things like with a little bit of tongue in cheek or however it's meant to be. And plus, keep in mind, anything online, you have no idea of how people mean it because you can't see their body language, you can't tell by the tone of their voice. Like,
I don't understand why most vegans seem to lack a sense of humor.
I think, like, I guess when I became vegan, I just assumed that people would, once I told them or educated them about things they weren't aware of, that they'd become vegan too, because it meant so much to me. And I guess you can get caught up in the anger, or I know a lot of people who are very angry. I know a lot of people that veganism's another excuse for them to be angry, and it's very hard. You know, left of center on the very minority sort of scale, especially, you know, today there's a lot of people that know about vegan food or vegan health or vegan fitness, but like the animal rights ethics, the actual you know, things that I feel are really important, they're not really spoken about that much, and that can be really hard. And especially if you are someone who you full-time, you're an activist and you're doing this stuff all the time, and you're just seeing you're getting brick wall after brick wall, that's really hard. And, you know, I've had to step away from the movement a bit the past few years just because I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be disillusioned by life or anyone in general. And I definitely feel the movement's really, really negative, as most small minority movements are.
But I don't think it's negative. I think there's people kind of steering the thing, you know, that are kind of negative, but I don't necessarily think vegans or vegetarians are negative. I think they kind of feel like they're doing something positive and not getting enough recognition from it. So I think...
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of very selfish...
I see what people. The problem is. I just figured it out. Most vegans and vegetarians are probably like me. They just do it for personal reasons and for their own families. But the people who identify as vegans on the web are pretty much all activists. And if you're an activist, you're right. You're going to have that. I had this experience actually just this week. There's a lady out of Washington named Rain Pearson, a really intelligent person. And I was, she liked this post, and then there was another vegetarian thing, the Meat Eater's Guide to How to Treat Vegetarians at Thanksgiving. That I wrote. She really liked that. I picked her up as a Facebook friend, so I'm watching her updates, and she's like yelling at carnivores and just telling them, you know, if you think that you're moral, even if you believe in heaven and you believe you're actually going to go there, you are sadly mistaken. You're a complete murderer. You know, I told her in one of the comments, I said, I actually believe everything that you're saying, but you kind of have to don't you think, not yell at people who don't think the way you do. Maybe try other tactics and maybe fine-tune your message a little to get to a few of them rather than trying to change the whole system yourself. I mean, bravo, but I think you're taking on too much. I get blocked. Not only do I get blocked from Facebook, but I get blocked from even contacting her on Twitter to apologize. That's a vegan who I find on the internet.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, definitely, I don't know this person.
What was her name?
Rain Pearson. She's an environmental she's an environmental lawyer and a vegan activist out of Washington. She's a sweet person. I just wanted to apologize, so I'm doing that now over your podcast.
Oh, good. I hope she hears it.
Yeah. I'm also telling you, chick, mellow out.
But, you know, there's a lot of people, not just in the vegan movement, but just life in general, who are angry and who maybe don't have the best communication skills. So I don't necessarily think it's just a vegan issue.
Yeah. No, you're right. But I answered my own question. I think the people who identify as vegan publicly are doing so as activists, and you get your own set of agendas and problems when you try and speak to an activist or expect a humor from an activist. You're right, but that's not what activists are. They're about one issue, and that's it.
Well, not necessarily one issue, but just...
Right.
Well, for me, it's about educating people.
What's your other issue?
Who?
Feminism. No, I know. I listen to her. Feminism is her other issue.
Yes, and, well, I guess bringing that up, like, the way certain people act online who are feminist or anti-feminist even, like, definitely the message is completely either watered down or very strong for a lot of people, or the language is really bad. That I just definitely think every single person in whatever movement you are, vegan, environmental, feminist, whatever, like, just be really aware of how you're communicating with people online and offline. I think it just comes down to that.
Chris, what do you think about that?
I'm still shocked that about the porn stuff. and plus, I was reading the St. Kilda playing list for the year, so
St. Kilda is one of our
tuned out.
Corey, St. Kilda is one of our AFL teams here, Australian Football League, that Chris and I both follow. And we were talking about AFL before you joined in the conversation. I was just letting Chris know about our new captain for the Brisbane Lions, the team that I follow, and our new a couple of new vice captains. So it's almost.
I am sorry about that. I do have a couple of very strong opinions about, like, I fully believe in equality, and I think equality, the hardest road to equality is through, like, you know, there's, like, kind of men's groups and feminists, and I think there's, like, no road to equality through feminism or men's groups saying, well, men are bashed more in public or some shit, and women's groups go, well, women are bashed more in the homes, you know, instead of just people not bashing each other, you know, like, seems to be very simple answers for a lot of things, and everyone kind of gets stuck in the middle of, like, people that are very passionate about, you know, something that most people genuinely believe in. And I think most people want to see animals not treated badly, and most people want to, you know, see women treated equally, but it's kind of a big gap between what actually happens in that.
Definitely.
Right. Now, but most, when you're talking about most people, I'm thinking about the populace at large, and most people don't want to think about all of the cruelty and the harm that their actions are taking. They just don't want
to. Oh, they don't want to think of it. Yeah, I don't think they want to think about it. But I think definitely, on some level, everyone wants to see animals treated nicely. Like, even, you know, people that go pig shooting or some shit have dogs that they love. You know, I don't think people want to see anything suffer. I think they feel bad if they kill the pig wrong and it, you know, limps around for 20 minutes before it dies. And I think, you know, most people don't want to see something suffer, and it's just kind of being able to reach them in a different way.
I also have another point, believe it or not, and more than one point, and that's everybody has a certain level of hypocrisy, and you know, it just, so if you didn't take yourself that seriously, you could just look at it and say, "Oh, this is my hypocrisy," and you know,
move forward, learn from it.
Look, when I see a freaking spider in my house, I don't give a shit about its life. I'm not trying to trap it in a glass. I'm just trying, don't fucking bite my daughter. Fuck you, you die right now. And that, you know, I don't want to be like that, but that's just how I am in the moment. And
And you kind of stuck there. If it was a rattlesnake, you'd kick it, right?
Or shoot it if I had a gun, sure.
Yeah. Well, you're American, so you got a gun.
No, I'm not a typical American. I belong with you guys.
Well, you know, Australia's got a pretty strong gun culture now. We're pretty good for a while, but, you know.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for that. I blame Alex Jones. Everyone loves Alex Jones. Everyone's like not getting the kids vaccinated.
Tell them. Putting
covers over their computer camera.
Tell people who Alex Jones is.
He's like crazy internet guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything's a conspiracy. Vaccines are a conspiracy. 9/11 was a conspiracy. Obviously, everything we got told that happened in 9/11 probably isn't true, but not everything of it was a conspiracy.
I do like a good conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Would you believe... I was watching one just yesterday that my friend sent me about... They thought... They were saying the plane's a hologram, and the plane, like, flies behind a building, and they go, see, there's a glitch in the hologram. Like, fucking idiots. Yeah.
There's you know, the whole Illuminati chemtrails, all that kind of crazy, paranoid thinking. I mean, that's led to a lot of anti-vaxxer sentiment here. We've got, like, 100 people that came down with the measles, supposedly an eradicated disease in America, just by visiting Disneyland recently.
Wow.
And, I think I blame myself, really, because I don't trust the government when it tells me my water's safe to drink. I don't trust it when it tells me that the pesticides and GMO corn are safe to eat. But I don't trust them, not because I think they're hiding stuff from me, because they're out to get me. I think that science isn't there. Science hasn't yet identified the things that are really awful about the antibiotics and the milk and the stuff. But anti-vaxxers take that to another level, and they assume that the government is hiding stuff, and that they have this secret agenda to vaccinate everybody, and that they know vaccines cause autism. And so I kind of blame myself for, because when you think like that, and you don't have a stable mind, it leads automatically to that kind of stuff.
To thinking the worst, yeah.
Both of you, have daughters of your own. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scary stuff out there.
Well, I'm living in Las Vegas. I'm just checking, you know, every night I go in her room and check that she's not stripping.
She's still a bit young.
Oh, not for Vegas.
Really?
But it is a scary thing.
So, Corey, tell me about Las Vegas and the vegan scene now, because I've heard it's pretty great.
I've never seen any kind of vegan scene whatsoever, except at the deli counter at Whole Foods, until this new restaurant opened up called Violet's Vegan. I know you don't love this food. I listen to you a lot, so I know you don't like mock meat made out of seitan and stuff like that, but we crave it, because it's kind of, you know, even though we don't eat meat, we still, like, I go buy a barbecue, and I, you know, my mouth waters. I don't want to eat this stuff, because I don't want to eat a corpse, but I still get hungry for it. And so they have all this comfort food. They have, like, beef kebabs and steak, but it all tastes, you know, exactly like the real thing, and it's so awesome. And there's nothing like like this restaurant that's been here. There's about 50 places in L.A. where we moved from. And this is the first of any kind of. So we went there every night this week to try everything on the menu.
Oh, cool. What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Violet's Vegan. And,
Violet's Vegan.
It's named after Cindy Violet, is the owner. She's a big professional poker player in the U.S.
Okay.
We were there one night, and Daniel Negreanu walked in. I mean, it's the poker players are all going there. Of course, they know Cindy, but I see a lot. The tables are all full. They're about 15 tables, and they were full every time we went in, and it's just really, really great to see, because there are a hell of a lot of people who live in Las Vegas, hundreds and thousands, who came from L.A. because the price of living in L.A. is just unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to own a house. if you're not a multimillionaire in an area of Los Angeles that doesn't have bars on the windows and gunshots outside. So there are hundreds of thousands of people who came to Vegas, not because they didn't like the vegan options in Vegas, but because they just couldn't afford to live there, and they wanted to raise a family in a freaking house they could own. So we were all sitting around here, and every time a new restaurant opened on the Strip, it was a stupid steak place, or you know, or another hamburger. Like we need fucking 35 hamburger outlets. They just opened White Castle this week. I need White Castle. No, anyway. So I would have ranted a lot more if this one restaurant hadn't opened up and made me my family so happy.
Well,
it's
I've
really,
heard,
really great place.
Is it Steve Wynn that owns a lot of the area there?
Yeah, Steve has a new wife who's a vegan, so he's a vegan by proxy.
Yeah, because I've heard he's opened a lot of places or his menus
are
vegan.
No. What it is, I hate to denigrate anything that's positive that's done toward veganism, but Steve made sure there was one vegan dish added to each of his restaurants in the Wynn and the Encore, which is, I think, about 30 restaurants or maybe 25 or something. And, you know, they're good. They're good. It's all good food, but it's not anything original. They're made out of Gardein, which you can go buy at Whole Foods. It's not from scratch. It's from Gardein.
Yeah.
And when you're eating in a restaurant in the Wynn or the Encore, you're paying $30 a plate. So, you know, you eat there once, you go, okay, that's nice, and then you don't go back again. It's not a regular stop for you. To go eat at the Wynn if you're a vegan.
Yeah, okay. I thought there was a lot more options at his restaurants too, but you're just saying like one thing really.
I think there's at least I know there's at least one. There might be one or two restaurants where there are more, but we went to one of the main ones in the Wynn about a year ago for our anniversary, which is the only time we can afford $30 meals, and there was only one entree for us, and it was good. It was like a chicken marinara or something, and it was made out of it was good, but you know, it's not a place to now that you know, we finally have it now with this one place, so we're really trying to keep it open by going there as often as possible.
That's good.
Can we hear more about Las Vegas for a minute? What's it like?
It's absolutely as insane as you think it is. I mean, I dropped my daughter at daycare behind a woman who's like she's got like boobs that are bigger than her head, and she's like wearing sunglasses at 7 in the morning. She smells from the cheap perfume. She's wearing huge like heels. Of course, you know, she could be just a cocktail waitress, but it's Vegas, not necessarily. It's a really, really strange place. We really never intended to live here for the rest of our lives, but we fell into a situation where with the mortgage crisis that happened in America, where we walked away from our house, and then the bank said, we don't want you to walk away. And basically, we're now living in a house in a beautiful part of town for a pretty much the price of a luxury car lease every month.
Really?
It never goes up. It never goes up, you know, for the next 40 years. For the only proviso is that we have to live here. We have to remain in the house. So it's my home, and I have to learn to find the things about it that I don't completely despise. Look, I'm from New York and from L.A. If we were to move to either of those places, we'd be trying to raise our daughter in an apartment in a horrible part of town with a fat woman upstairs bowling. And, God knows what the public schools are like. We have to live here. But it really is, it's such a trip. There's video poker machines in the supermarkets.
What? Wow.
Yeah, they're all full of the same, like, stereotypical people. It might actually be the same people at every one. I think they might have cloned them. They're all 75 years old, and they all smoke, and they're putting in their social security checks into these video poker machines, and it's like people you don't even notice it when you live here long enough. It's like, oh yeah, there's the video poker section of the supermarket.
It's so sad to me.
Wow. I just can't imagine living. It's just so beautiful just outside of Las Vegas. And what's the lake near the dam? what's that called?
Mead. Lake Mead.
So beautiful. And you can, how far is it to the Grand Canyon?
It's about 2.5 hours to the bad side. But look, I mean, if that's beauty to you, I mean, you know, there's, just look at the rover from Mars. I mean, it's the same terrain.
Yeah.
I like my mountains to be green.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
we should swap one time. The mountains just out the front of my house are green as shit.
Except for the snow.
Well, it's not. I'm down like far enough south where it doesn't snow. It's
Were you in Japan for the tsunami?
No, I only moved here 6 months ago.
Wow. So did you see any damage when you got there?
Well, I'm in Osaka. It's way, way away. But, you know, in Tokyo, they don't drink from the water supply and shit like that. Like,
still,
I think
wow.
It is pretty bad, but, you know, it's Japan. Kind of everything's kind of like, looks a little bit damaged unless you're in the nature, and then it's just perfect nature. Like, nobody looks after the nature like Japan. You know, it's like city, and then you come to a road, and on the other side of the road's a bush that no one's ever walked into. It's unbelievable.
Do you feel like a zoo animal on display there sometimes?
Yeah, all the time. Everyone comes up and talks to me. I like, my friends are all like 75-year-old dudes who hated white people back during the war, you know? And then they've kind of like, they've found a guy that's not mean to them or some shit, and they like cling to me like glue. Go to coffee with them, can't speak Japanese, they can't speak English, but, you know, somehow we all get along and drink coffee together, and one of them came and helped me lift. I made a set of doors, but I made them way too heavy. I used 45 mil timber the whole way through the door, so it was fucking heavy, and I got this old guy who's maybe 65 to come and help me. He's in pretty good shape. They don't ruin their bodies like we do in the West, but they had to get one of his other mates to help me put it on. I kind of felt sorry for him, but at the same time, he's my only mate. Like, what could I do? We talk to each other through translator. They get more surprised every day at how much better I'm getting in Japanese.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I remember to say please.
I visited Tokyo in 2000. I remember I didn't get the culture at all, and I studied up the language and everything. I went when I was single trying to hook up with Japanese women, and the phrase that I learned was Watashi wa Bakana American Jin, which is, hi, I'm a stupid American. And
wow.
I thought, you know, self-deprecating humor would just, like, that would be it. And I would tell them
didn't
that
get it.
Every one of them, to a T, said, oh, no, who told you say that? That not good. See, insulting yourself is just not funny to them. They don't understand. It's all about honor.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you go with the ladies then, Corey?
What?
How did you go with the ladies then? Doesn't sound like the best pickup line.
No, it wasn't. So we went to Thailand 2 weeks earlier than intended, and I more than made up for my lack of success in Japan.
Really? I'm married. I think it'd be very easy to pick up here.
Really?
Yeah, very easy. Like,
well, I'm guessing
shop,
you're not...
Coffee shop girls try and pick you up, you know?
I'm guessing you're not 5'5" with a voice that looks like... It sounds like you just inhaled helium for the past hour.
I'm fat.
You're fat?
Yeah.
Is he fat?
It depends who you compare him to.
I'm like... I'm not skinny. Put it that way. I'm not skinny and I'm not fit like I was... 25. Like, I'm a 32-year-old Australian.
No one
like,
is, though, Chris.
Yeah. But I'm a 32-year-old Australian. I got a belly... You know,
you sound like such a fit person. I could picture you right now, just like with your shirt off and with a whip, and like, you know, just
with a whip
riding a horse. I don't know, just whatever.
I think aren't all Australians fat? Everyone goes, oh, I'm surprised you're not fatter.
I've heard that there's a lot more of an obesity epidemic in Australia now. It used to be America in the front, but now I think we've taken over or something silly.
I blame Chico Rolls and Dare Iced Coffee, speaking of the Saints.
Corey,
Well, after dinner, after my dinner tonight, I actually might have tipped the scales back in favor of American obesity.
It's just like, you know, I say it all the time, like 18 years ago when I first became vegan, there wasn't as many great vegan alternatives, especially like desserts and sweets. And now there's just so much stuff, which is really good.
Did you lose weight then too? Like, the less education you have about veganism, the easier it is to lose weight.
Well, I did because I wasn't having dairy and a lot of, like, ice cream and chocolate, I guess. That's why I would have lost weight originally, because we didn't have ice cream and chocolate, vegan chocolate, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, there was one brand, actually, that was okay for ice cream, but they...
Was it So Good?
No, it was before So Good days.
Really?
Yeah.
So Good's been around since I was a kid. I remember Mum getting that for me.
Not
as a punishment.
Ice cream, though, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah. It was a different brand, or maybe they just didn't stock it. But, yeah, there's... and, see, this is...
Remember... I remember they had vegetarian stuff when I was a kid in New York, but, it was like everything had... Spirulina in it.
Spirulina.
Spirulina, yeah.
Spirulina. It was like everything was as gross as possible for the vegetarian market.
And green.
Gross and green.
But it's, you know, there's a lot more alternatives, which is really good, but it's like people that go vegan to lose weight or to be hot or to get fit or something, and they still eat the processed food.
So much processed sugar. That's the worst part about being vegan in Australia.
Yes.
Everything's processed. But in Melbourne, because the food was so, like, if you ate out in Melbourne, the food's so rich, you kind of eat half your meal and you can't eat for a day, you know?
I lost heaps
of weight in Melbourne.
And because you're walking around more in Melbourne? Because they actually have really good public transport, like the trains.
Are you sure you're not walking around more because you're on holidays?
Maybe.
Yeah, I always walk more on holidays, but I didn't notice myself walking around more.
Okay. Yeah.
I could see losing weight if you went raw. I could see cutting your calories based on that, but not if you just went vegan. In fact, I don't think I've lost any weight since I went vegetarian 20 years ago.
And a lot of people are putting on weight now when they become vegan because they're, you know, it's the whole thing that gets promoted. Instead of having dairy cheese, you can have all these fake vegan cheeses. Or instead of having animal meat or something, their flesh, you can have all these other alternatives, and it's all really highly processed, a lot of it. And so people are having stuff that's, you know, before they were vegan, you know, animal parts, non-ethical sort of stuff, but then they're still having processed stuff or stuff that's not good for them, really.
And the sodium is off the charts.
Mm.
If you have high blood pressure, you just can't be a vegan unless you eat raw or cook
really?
Your own
yeah.
stuff.
I have low blood pressure, actually, a lot of the time. But, yeah, it's definitely something people need to look at, and this is one of my things about how veganism is marketed, you know. A lot of my vegan friends, they don't care about the food or their health because it's all about the animals. You're doing it to help the animals, not kill or harm or abuse animals.
Right, but who is it marketed by? Most of these vegan brands have been bought by corporations a long time ago, and so they sit around boardrooms and they say, okay, how do we get this product out to the most people possible? And they think of what are the ways to, so that they'll just do whatever the buzzwords are, you know? Like, I see gluten-free on stuff all the time.
Mm.
Like, what does that even mean? If it doesn't have any kind of wheat or grain in it, it's not going to have gluten anyway. My butter has no gluten in it. Duh.
I was with some non-vegan friends one day, and we just, like, they were at the bottle shop, going through the bottle shop, and I just got some chips, because it was, like, a holiday, public holiday, everything was shut, and chips, like, crisps, so it's just, like, potatoes, oil, salt, and one of my friends, they're like, oh, is that gluten-free? And I'm like, it has potatoes in it.
But are they celiacs, though, or are they just doing it as a trend?
It's weird
that gluten became a trend.
Yeah, I think they were confused about whether my veganism and gluten-free is the same thing, because I try not to have gluten products a lot of the time.
Can I ask why?
Because I feel better when I don't. And,
really?
Yeah, and I just prefer a lot of the other stuff.
Look, if you have celiac disease, you die when you eat wheat gluten. and you pretty much know you have celiac disease because you go to the bathroom and you're seeing intestine in the toilet. Mm. I mean, that doesn't mean that if you don't have that if you don't have a gluten sensitivity, that gluten is bad for you. I mean, there might sort of be gradations of it where you almost have celiac disease, but you don't quite. You're not diagnosed, and then it would be a great idea for you not to have gluten. But I can't believe the whole freaking population is on that scale.
Yeah, it seems like everyone, it's like, what's the name? It's really popped up. It's a very trend, like, it's an untrend
definitely.
Condition.
Yeah, it's like carbs were 15 years ago. Carbs. Carbs is the only evil to eat.
That one still is. And because of all
I think carbs are big now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Everyone's into carbs, like 80% carbs. Carb the
complex. They say complex, you know, as long as your body has some energy to expend and breaking it down, it's good. So, like, the brown rice is good, the white rice is good. Oh, but no, now that's not even true because of the arsenic levels. White rice,
rice
has been better for us the whole time.
There's white rice doesn't have arsenic, right?
White rice has less arsenic than brown, but still has arsenic.
I literally live on rice. Sometimes I take, like, fiber. You know, most vegans take, like, a multivitamin. I take, like, a fiber substitute for so much rice.
Because it's white rice, yeah.
Everything's rice in Japan. Doesn't matter what it is, it's rice. And if you're a vegan, rice and sesame oil, you know, bit of soy sauce.
Chris, I don't see any connection at all between the fact that all you eat is rice and the fact that you're fat. There's no connection at all.
Maybe
it's sesame oil. The only thing you can flavor rice with to make it nice is soy sauce and sesame oil. Whack. Sesame oil goes straight to your hips.
So really, I mean, there's so little that's not a fish product in Japan that you really have to sit down at a restaurant, order rice, and that's it, and just eat that.
I can have, like, tofu and sesame oil and soy sauce or, you know, there's heaps of shit you can have, but, you know, do you really want to eat kelp? Do you?
It's not really that great.
Actually, one thing that I was, like, a little bit iffy about their vegetables, you know, like, you kind of just assume everything's frozen, but they have so many, like, hydroponic setups here where they have, like, hydroponic tomatoes. Easily the best tomatoes I've ever had.
Wow.
In Japan. Easily. And even, I had a friend here from Africa, and you know Africa has lovely, if you can get fruit and veg, Africa has lovely fruit and veg. I don't know whether you've ever heard of that.
I haven't been there. I was made in Africa, but I haven't been there.
You were made in Africa?
Yeah.
Really?
In Zimbabwe.
Wow. Mm. Sounds racist.
Yeah. My parents they lived there for like seven years. Or Rhodesia, Rhodesia.
Yeah, Rhodesia.
Yeah,
wow.
Rhodesia.
Wow.
And yeah, so they loved it. That's still, my parents both say it's the best place they've ever been to travel.
You are the most worldly person that I've ever heard of who has never been to the UK.
I haven't been to the UK or Europe yet.
Europe even, wow.
No.
How are
but
you
your name's
so worldly?
Kosh.
Yeah, I want to go to Europe.
Why not?
I do want to go to Europe.
Oh, you want to? Oh,
and I want to go to the UK, but, you know, the cold thing, that puts me off a bit. So I
can I make a suggestion of a very cheap way to get to London from Australia? You know, you can get $230 Jetstar flights.
Can you? I didn't know that.
To Osaka, and then from Osaka to Vladivostok is very cheap, like $87, right? There's a train you can get that's a real shit train. It's just chock-a-block full of people that goes from Vladivostok all the way to St. Petersburg for, like, $70.
I do love trains.
And then from St. Petersburg to Berlin is a very cheap flight as well. I had a friend who got there for under $700.
That's cool.
Literally took him a month to get there, but, you know,
well,
got there.
I really want to travel around the world by train one day. There's this amazing website that I love called seat61.com, and it's all about train trips or other ways to get there. And I wonder if your friend was on there, because it sounds like the sort of trips that they show how to do.
No, I think he's just a tight ass, and he's worked out the shortest way to get there.
I've heard he
wants to do a tour from New York and somehow get from New York to Washington and then Washington all the way across the Eastern Seaboard touring his band along the train line. You know, yeah. So every time, like, they jump on the train and hire guitars when they get there.
That's a great idea, but it's really expensive for trains in the States.
No, like, they jump on the, what's name, they're all, like, train kids, though. They love riding the train for free.
Freight trains.
They love it.
Freighters, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Woody Guthrie.
Yeah, that book, Bound for Glory. I read that book when I was on trains in Thailand or somewhere. It's a great book.
Good. We have a name for your friends. We call them hobos.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, great idea. Good on them. Good
luck. Welcome to the Frugal Travel Podcast, everybody.
Yeah. I actually think
just
they
name a city you want to go to.
Yeah, literally. He went from, he was stuck in South America and got a fishing boat back to Australia.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I've heard that I'm going
to containers. How do you even ask someone for that?
So, someone just offers, maybe? I don't know.
What, do you show up with a boat and the dude's like, hey, do you want to lift home? Like, I thought you were never going to ask.
You just go and see who goes where and make friends. Yeah. I would. But if you get onto cargo ships, supposedly I've heard of a few people that travel on cargo ships. It's not luxury accommodation, obviously, but you can pay, like, really, really cheap amounts to go where the cargo ships go.
Mm.
They actually know you're on the ship?
Yeah.
Do you have to work?
No. There's some way you do as well.
No, that sounds horseshit. You'd want to work. They get paid pretty well, I think.
I don't know.
Because it's just like throwing a bucket of water over the deck, right?
I don't know. I've never been... I don't think I'd be cut out for that sort of work.
It's like being on a cruise ship, except shitter.
Yeah, and you have to work. Cruise ships, you don't have to work. And you do all the crappy jobs, I'm sure.
Mm.
Yeah. Where do you want to go, Corey?
Where do I want to go? I don't know. Where do I want to go? I'd love to be in Australia. I went to a psychic for an article that I was doing once, and he told me a couple of really, really insightful things that made me think that he was onto something. And then he also told me that I would live in Australia.
Mm. It's a great place to live.
I completely disagree. Australia is really expensive.
It's expensive, yes.
Australia is easily the most expensive place in the world. I had a friend who lives in Norway right now, which is kind of the place you always think of as being the most expensive place, and she thinks Norway's cheap.
It depends. If you're in Alaska or somewhere like that, I'm sure that's more expensive, because they don't get as...
Alaska's right next door to Canada.
It's meant to be really expensive, because they don't grow a lot of their own stuff. You have to get in a lot of things shipped in.
But doesn't what is more expensive always change when the currency changes? Because I remember when we went to Japan... It was the most expensive place we'd ever heard of. It was like the equivalent of $10 for a cup of coffee. And,
Whoa, really?
It's not that way anymore. But I think
certainly not that way anymore. Yeah,
the currency's changed.
Yeah, it's about 80 cents U.S. for a dollar,
right.
I think.
So it doesn't make Australia intrinsically an expensive place. It just means it just is sort of like a scorecard on what the exchange rates are.
I do agree with Chris that it is expensive. Like, it really is. Anyone I've known, all my travel people from overseas, travel companions, friends, whatever, when they come to Australia, they're completely shocked by our prices. Even, you know, just to stay at a dorm or a backpackers is like $70 a night, Australian dollars.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's ridiculous. You can stay in, and I know, and this is my thing too, because I was in Asia for so long, and I got used to the prices in Asia, and it's still shocking to come back to Australia and pay $10 for a meal, or more than $10 for a meal. So,
yeah, $10 is cheap in Australia, that's a good meal.
Yeah.
But in Japan, you know, like, I spend maybe $4 for lunch, right? I got two slabs of tofu. It's a pretty boring lunch. Two slabs of tofu, two things of natto, a really big rice, and, like, this weird pickly thing, and that's the only shit I can eat on the menu, so I get two of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs, like, $4, right?
Mm, that's good.
That same thing in Australia. I remember paying $5 just for rice.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you have to go to the bulk. Like, I shop
the bulk club?
My bulk. Like, you know, the Indian grocery, the Asian grocery, the Tongan grocery, all those sort of places. I always get bulk food from those places.
Yeah, what's the Tongan grocery?
Tongan grocery, like Tongan people.
Yeah, what do they sell? Like green bananas and
just like a fruit and veg store, but they have a lot of other things as well. Like bulk.
Do they have tongue in cheek? Sorry.
Tongue in cheek. LOL. I don't think they do actually. Tongans don't do humor.
They're very
serious about not doing humor.
They're very vegan.
Yeah, I had a bunch of friends at a Tongan. They just don't do humor.
So anyway, Chris, I found out from our friend Jeremy, who's over in New Zealand at the moment. He's going to join us probably on our next podcast, so we can talk about his adventures.
Sounds good.
He's
pushbiking around New Zealand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think he's just met a friend from the Netherlands, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure he said he was from the Netherlands.
A lady friend?
No, a male friend.
Oh, that's good. I wanted him to come over here because there's this girl who really loves Breaking Bad that lives on my street.
The show.
And, yeah, you know, Breaking Bad, the TV show?
Yep.
The best TV show ever made, according to most people.
I agree.
I would.
Do you agree with that?
Argue,
I don't actually.
I would argue that.
100%. 100%.
I'm a Trailer Park Boys guy. But then Breaking Bad. Great, great show. Anyway, Jeremy looks like Jesse.
So,
yeah. Okay. What are you talking about? Look at the very last scene of Breaking Bad. It's Jeremy.
I liked the first two seasons and I just got over it. So I haven't seen the last one.
Do you remember that TV show Weeds?
Yeah.
How it just lost something after, like, I don't know, after was she, like, started hanging out with the international drug smugglers.
Was it all? Was it all when?
And it kind of like went downhill.
Was it all when all the people were striking in LA or something? Because that's what happened with Friday Night Lights. Like it was really good, and then they had the strike, and then the writing was just ridiculous.
Did you say Friday Night Live? Saturday Night Live?
Lights. Friday Night Lights.
No, I don't think it's the case with HBO or Showtime because they could choose to do a new season whenever they want.
Mm.
Friday Night Lights is one of the best TV shows, Chris. You should check it out. It's about college football in Dillon, Texas.
Wow. Does it have heaps of muscles? I think that's why you like it.
No, I really like the characters, the character development, and Connie Britton's in it. Do you know her?
Is that the girl from Community?
I don't know about Community. She's also in Nashville at the moment. Loving Nashville TV series, and she was in the first season of American Horror Story.
You watch way more TV. The only reason I saw Breaking Bad is because when I first moved to Japan, I had nothing to do for a month, so I've watched like every episode.
I do love TV series, yeah. Dramas, I like a good drama.
Fair enough. Is it a drama? I'm big on comedy.
Yeah, your humour's not the same as mine, so it has to be like a certain type of comedy for me to like UK comedy, probably.
Fair enough.
Like the original Office, that was good.
Yeah, it was better than our version, but our version was pretty good too.
I didn't mind yours, actually.
I like the US version better. Like, I love Ricky Gervais, but
he's great.
He kind of just made it too awkward, you know?
Oh, I love that though.
I was just complaining recently about. Did you ever see the show Rake, Corey? There was an Australian show called Rake. Richard Roxburgh, I think, is the guy who was in it. And then you guys remade it, and it was painful. Like, it just missed all the great parts of it. But, yeah.
Was it funny?
No, it wasn't. It was sort of maybe more satirical humour or subtle humour when it was Australian, and they just made it over-the-top humorous in the States.
I don't believe Hollywood's ever remade something and made it worse. That's a ridiculous statement. I don't.
You mean made it better? have you seen the remake of Karate Kid?
No.
Worst remake ever. It was worse than when Madonna did Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Like, it was fucking awful.
That's a big call. And so what's everyone up to the rest of the week? Or next week? Corey?
Going for pizza for dinner. Oh,
or Chris?
Corey? Corey? No, Corey, go on.
I have to figure out how to make money to pay for to go to this vegan restaurant every single night of next week too. I have to figure out what articles to write so that I could raise the $50 a night to take my family.
Can it just be any topic?
Yeah.
Or does it have to be specifically for health?
No, it can be anything as long as it has something to teach people. I've got a funny element. And that, like, from the beginning, if I'm in it myself, I there's an arc where I learn something or I become different or whatever, you know, I change in some way. But I have an editor who's really like a co-writer, and we just have these brainstorming sessions where we just think of the wildest shit that, like, you know, would never be publishable, and then we sort of tame that into something that Men's Health would run. It's really a fun process.
Oh, yeah. Corey, I have one for you. Imaginary boyfriend. Have you heard
of that? No.
It's all the rage at the moment. If you're a girl who's single and you're being harassed by your parents or your friends or a guy, and you just want to pretend you have a boyfriend, you can sign up to create your own boyfriend, and you'll get 100 texts, photos, all this stuff. You should. There's quite a few.
Oh,
media.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna go look that up.
There's quite a few media outlets who have already written about it, but it's like it's really full on. And
no, but if I could figure out a way to sort of like you know shoehorn myself into like the you know the cuddling thing, that's already been out for a couple of years already. But
well, do you know in Japan they have like the population is declining by about half over the next, say, 40 years or 50 years because of women don't want to have kids.
I've heard that.
Because men are assholes in Japan. Guys don't want to date women because they're a pain in the ass. And no one's getting married. No one's having kids. They pay, like, $70 to cuddle someone for 15 minutes.
And no one's having sex in Japan, I've heard, too.
What's that?
No one's having sex in Japan, too.
Well, people are having sex. There's an area just near my house. It's like the brothel area. It's about a kilometer wide, full of houses the size of a room, you know, which is a brothel. It's amazing. So there's like, you know, 300 brothels in the space of a kilometer. It's crazy.
Well, I think we might wrap it up there, guys. Thank you to Corey Levitin today for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Good.
And sorry.
I think we should definitely do it again.
Yes, we'll get you in another time, Corey.
I'm not in an amazing headspace, and I thought you're hilarious, so I'd love to riff with you. I think it'd be great.
And you
since we didn't have the visual, I am standing here naked, and so I would just love for you to see that.
Yes, sorry everyone that we didn't get the visual with this. If you
is everything in proportion?
No, it's actually not. I have a size 10.5 foot.
Wow.
And you know what that means.
Congratulations.
I have feet.
Very good balance. I'm like a weeble. You cannot knock me over.
If you want to check out more of what Corey does, check out menshealth.com.
Go to CoreyLevitin.com. That's where all my articles are.
And CoreyLevitin.com, which is CoreyLevitin.com.
I think what you guys are doing is awesome. I think you have a really good chemistry together. When Chris isn't, like, watching something else during the podcast. And, I look forward to listening to you, even if I'm not on again. I think you do a great job. You're very entertaining.
Thanks.
Yeah,
Corey.
Thanks, dude. I think you'll definitely be on again.
And this is more of what the vegan community needs is people with a fucking sense of humor, really.
And if anyone's interested in joining us, send me an email. Go to vivalavegan.net in the contact section and tell me what we can talk about.
Did you sign up a fake boyfriend, Lee Chantel?
No, I don't do anything on my phone, and like that sort of stuff just freaks me out. All that stuff. I meet heaps of lovely guys all the time, so you know I don't have a problem with meeting people.
Can I just ask you what your situation is? I mean, because you put yourself out there. I mean, you're always going to these different areas of the world and spending time with people, and you have like a million friends. I mean, Do you have boyfriends? Do you have like one in every place? How do you work it?
I'm currently looking for a compatible vegan, potentially male.
So do they have to be vegan, or no, are they? They actually could they be vegan curious.
They don't actually have to be vegan anymore. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, I would have said they had to be vegan. But now I would just like to find someone who's a nice person.
It's just such a shit gene pool, like.
And I can have a good conversation.
I always had a very strict. They have to be vegan policy, or at least vegetarian, and they only eat vegan around me. But such a shit gene pool, like, how do you meet someone?
It just narrows everything down so much.
Lee. Yeah. Is it Lee or Lee Chantel?
Lee Chantel.
So not Lee. I can't call you Lee.
No. Oh, I get LC quite a lot.
LC. Yeah. All right. So you're sitting around with your boyfriend who's not a vegan, okay, and you want to get serious. Aren't you looking at that mouth every second of the day and wondering what it just ate?
Mm. I have dated non-vegans in the past, and they'll have to brush their teeth before we start kissing or something, and yeah, it does freak me out.
Don't you think it would sort of gross him out, or it would get on his nerves that every time he wants to kiss you, he has to go brush his teeth?
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, this is what I figured out. It is actually vegan to be a cannibal. As long as it's consenting, and you give your arm, or whatever, or your dick to be eaten. And it's a consenting act, and it's vegan.
Wow, that's, you know, they call it the long pig ride in Papua New Guinea, where Lee Chantel's from.
The people are the long pigs.
It's just because I recently read God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens, and then read it again.
I love that book. I love
so
that.
Good.
I haven't read it.
How does he fit so many facts into one book?
I hope everyone's learned something from this podcast today. Well, I hope everyone who's listening to this is reading a very good book this week. And thank you, Corey, again for joining us.
My pleasure, again.
And Chris and I will both see you here the next time. And we may have a guest, we may not.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.